Well, thank you, Leslie, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to In Touch on WCCI and WCCIRadio.com. We're joined today via the telephone by Brian Termail, Senior Director of Public Affairs at the Associated General Contractors. And as we talk in the wake of the recent election and we talk about the world of construction, I know there's a new report that we're going to address here and really talk about the state of construction jobs throughout the U.S. And Brian, we certainly appreciate your time today and look forward to our visit. But first and foremost, let's talk about this report. And was this a good report? Was this a bad report? What is your analysis?
Yes, thank you for having me, and good morning, everyone. The report you're talking about is we put out a report that tracks construction employment in 358 different metro areas around the country. And what we found, and to answer your question, is it's mixed news depending on where you live. One-third of the nation's metro areas saw construction employment decline or stagnate over the last year. The other two-thirds saw increases in construction employment. Now, we put out this report on a monthly basis, and one of the things we've seen over the last two, 3 years of this so-called economic recovery is that the list of who's adding jobs and the list of who's losing jobs changes quite frequently. In other words, nowhere in the country is there sort of this continuous, sustained economic growth that one month, a metro area could be adding construction jobs, and then just a few months later, a metro area could be losing jobs. So in Illinois, for example, you've got Decatur and Bloomington, Illinois, two areas that for some time in 2014 were adding construction jobs. Now in 2016, they're among the leaders in the country in terms of the percentage size of their construction job losses. So we have a very uneven economic recovery in construction, and one of the reasons for that is that public sector investments in our roads, in our bridges, in our water systems has been declining. Year over year, it's down about 2% compared to 2015, and that's hurting some construction employers in many parts of the country.
Well, Brian, let's talk a little bit about the impact of the presidential election. How do you see the potential Trump plan for infrastructure spending affecting jobs and the economy? And is this plan something that you would view as beneficial?
Yeah, we're encouraged that the president-elect, in his first comments after he found out that he won the election, he made it very clear that one of his top priorities is investing in rebuilding our aging roads, our aging bridges, our urban cores, our water systems. And we are eager to work with the incoming administration to help them craft and get that proposal passed in Congress. We think it will help the construction industry. There's no doubt that putting more investments into our old infrastructure will help put more people into high-paying construction jobs in many parts of the country. But I think more broadly, and if you're listening to this and you're not in construction and you're thinking, why should I care, these investments in our infrastructure are going to help just about everyone in our country, whether it's by making their commute shorter or whether it's by lowering the cost of the groceries they buy or the services they buy, because those companies are spending less money to ship their goods from point A to point B. Or it's going to mean they're going to have cleaner drinking water. They don't have to worry if they live in an older community. Are my water pipes lead lined? Or the schools their children go to will be in better shape and maybe have air conditioning if you live in a part of the country where the schools, and there are still many schools that don't have air conditioning. So we have a tremendous potential to really boost our economy through these investments in infrastructure. And we're encouraged by it. And at this point, the challenge is there are many great ideas in Washington, and a lot of them never make it off the drawing boards. And we want to make sure we're there to help the administration, the Trump administration, put in place a plan that can pass Congress and that can deliver the results that the president-elect wants.
And Brian, oftentimes these jobs have a ripple effect on the rest of the economy, producing other types of jobs impacting an area. I know currently in our you know, downtown we have a bridge project that's going on that's going to last for over a year, and I've already seen a lot of firsthand, you know, economic impact from that. So it's not just those jobs out there, it's the ripple effect and the positive benefits that come with these construction projects.
That's right. There's certainly a tremendous benefit that goes beyond construction when you put more construction workers to work. You've got to remember that these construction jobs pay 10% above the average wage for a non-farm job in the United States. So if you put more construction workers to work, they're going to take the family out to dinner on a Friday night. They're going to buy the kids new clothes for school. They're going to go to the local dealership and get a new pickup truck. And they're probably going to get a couple toys, because there isn't a construction worker I've met that doesn't have a toy they like to play with on weekends, like a jet ski or a motorcycle. But more broadly, as construction firms see increased demand for their services, they're going to do things like buy more aggregate, rock and stone and sand and gravel, which will help quarry operators. They're going to buy new construction equipment. So for the John Deere's of the world and the Caterpillars of the world, they're going to see increased orders and more demand, and that'll put more people to work in their high-paying factory jobs. Or even if you're 3M and you manufacture those reflective vests that construction workers wear, you're going to see those investments. Or if you're running a restaurant near a construction job site or a food truck, you're going to have more business and more activity. And all that new spending, all that new investment generates more economic activity. So that new factory worker, he now goes out and buys a new toy and takes the family out to Applebee's on a Saturday night, and that continues to have a broader impact. So certainly, and I think where President-elect Trump was really good was that he spent a lot of time talking about his infrastructure proposal, not as a jobs program for construction, but as a way to boost economic growth, and that's exactly the right way to think about it. It's really, the immediate benefit may be for the construction industry, but the broader benefit really is to the broader economy.
Well, Brian, as we close here, let's talk about the infrastructure nationwide. I know there seems to be a great need, for repairs and, to throw money in that direction and make sure we spend it correctly. If you were to give us an overview, what would your consensus be about infrastructure on a nationwide basis? So where does that stand right now, and where can, the most economic impact be made?
No, that's a good question. The sad fact is that we have a lot of infrastructure that was built right after World War II in this country. We had this sort of unprecedented economic boom, and at the same time we had new technologies and automotive technologies and shipping technologies and techniques that really sort of fostered this generation of infrastructure building in this country that started in the late 40s and went through the 60s. And that really gave us this incredible competitive edge, but we've got a system that was designed to last 30, 40 years that's now 50 to 60 years old. And in many parts of the country, our roads, our bridges, our water systems, they're falling apart. In some older parts of the country, you've got water systems that were built right before or right after the Civil War. So they're getting on 150, 160 years old. And that's why the American Society of Civil Engineers gives our infrastructure a D-plus grade, if you're thinking of traditional school grades, a D-plus grade, because it's not that we don't have a lot of infrastructure. It's, in fact, the reverse, that we have a lot of infrastructure, but it's really old and it hasn't been properly maintained. Compounding that is that we've got infrastructure that was built for travel and shipping patterns from the 1950s and 1960s when we had a lot of east-west movement. And now we've gotten an enormous amount of travel and trade moving north-south. And we don't have an infrastructure system that's matched up to our current sort of business patterns and travel patterns. So we not only need to better maintain the infrastructure that we have, but we have to look at where we can add more capacity, again, especially on those north-south routes. We've all obviously seen the stories about Flint, Michigan, but the real sad fact is, and their horrible water system, the sad fact is that there are many other communities in the country that have lead in their water pipes, that have water systems that are sewage disposal systems that are falling apart. We've got a lot of duct tape and Band-Aid on our infrastructure, and certainly what President-elect Trump is talking about with his investing up to $1 trillion in infrastructure will help bring a lot of that infrastructure back up to a state of good repair, modernize our airports, improve our schools, and certainly make it easier to ship goods and to move people from point A to point B in this country. It will help.
Well, Brian, our time is winding down. Thank you so much for being with us today. We look forward to maybe catching up with you in the future. Any final thoughts to close things out here on today's show?
Yeah, I think the last point I'd like to make is that, again, we're all very excited about the president-elect's plans, but we need congressional support. So if your listeners like the idea of the economy growing, like the idea of more people in high-paying construction jobs, like the idea of, you know, cleaner water and easier commutes and cheaper goods to purchase, then they should contact their members of Congress and make sure that they know that they're in favor of an infrastructure plan that really rebuilds our roads and bridges and water systems and jumpstarts our economy. Ultimately, we're going to need all the help we can get to make sure that this plan becomes reality.
Brian, thank you so much. Please feel free to join us again. You have an open invitation to come back and talk about this very important topic, and we certainly appreciate the visit today.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And that's today's In Touch on WCCI. Our guest has been Brian Termael, Senior Director of Public Affairs at the Associated General Contractors. In Touch is heard weekday mornings at 11:40 right here on New Hit Country.